Everyone, and welcome to the call. Had some technical issues there at the beginning trying to get in, but I am in. Welcome, welcome. Today is September 9. My name is Kurt Mortensen. Just for those that are new to the call, pretty easy how it works. We're going to spend 15 minutes or so talking about a specific tool or a couple of tools you can practice this week, and then we'll open it up for some Q&A about what we talked about today or things you're even running into. Make sure we can help you out in the world of persuasion, motivation, influence. That's our goal. That's what we want for you. The calls are always recorded. Keep that in mind. And as we focus on critical life skills, the 85% of your success, just to review, which we call the success blueprint, there's four critical areas. We talked about self-persuasion or self-mastery. That's a critical element we spend time on these calls. There's the persuasion skills. That's what you do when you say the laws, the 12 laws of persuasion. There's influence, which is a higher form of persuasion, which tends to be more the passion, charisma, the trust, more that instant connection. And then presentation skills. That's what I want to focus a little bit today is actual presentation skills. Because whether you're doing it over the phone, one-on-one, in front of a group, that's all presentation skills. That's something that people are judging us on. And as you teach people how to do persuasive presentations, a lot of the times when you start talking, they realize that in 30 seconds, the audience has judged you, and they decided pretty much that they like you and trust you. Now they all say in harmony, that's not fair. And I say, of course it's not, but it's reality, and that's what we have to deal with. That's reality. Everybody judges you. Even though they're not supposed to, they do. I know it's not politically correct, but they judge you on a lot of different factors. That's another call, what they're judging you on. I want to focus on some things that can really help or hurt you in any type of presentation. Again, this can be over the phone, one-on-one, three or four people, 100 people, same technique, same things happen. And I want to spend some time on the first thing is understanding what a heckler is. Now, when you start doing group settings, or even in the conference boardroom, a heckler is someone that's trying to make you look bad or does something that throws everybody off or grabs everyone's attention or is someone who wants all the attention. And the key is, how do you deal with a heckler? A heckler could be a crying baby. It could be, a polka band next door. That's happened to me before. It could be a cell phone ringing. It could be somebody talking to a neighbor. It could be somebody asking you very venomous questions. Those are all things that are hecklers. In fact, when I teach persuasive presentations, one of the things that we do at the very end, and we train people how to do this, is we bring in a heckler to heckle them during their final presentation. Now, it might make you nervous or tense. You might be excited to do something like that, but the reality is a heckler is going to make or break you, period. And you need to know how to handle those things, especially in a persuasive situation. If you don't handle a heckler in the right way, it will destroy you. Because what happens is when somebody heckles you or a cell phone rings or it's even too hot in there or somebody asks you that really pointed question that makes you nervous, the whole audience is kind of almost giddy inside. We're like, yeah, I wonder how they're going to handle that. Again, doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, this is reality. So we have to go back in history to understand why people heckle. I think it goes back to our childhood and the same reason why we tend to tease. We tease our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our other people, because we are looking for a reaction. That's very, very important to understand. They're looking to see what you're made of. They're looking to see if they can throw you off guard. They're looking to see if they can make you sweat or even turn you a little red. If you could understand that when someone asks you an embarrassing question or a pointed question or maybe even a question they shouldn't be asking, you've got to go with the flow and realize that most of it's just, okay, calm, cool, collected. It's not bothering, even if it does a little bit, because that's what they want. And even in the world of teasing, look at children. If they tease somebody and don't get a reaction, they move on. They're looking for the reaction. That's true in the boardroom, over the phone. And you have to be very, very careful here because you as the presenter cannot slam that person. Even though you'd like to, even though it feels good to slam the person, you will lose the credibility of the audience. If a baby's crying, for example, and it's upsetting the whole audience, and the presenter, you go take charge, and you lovingly go to the mother and say, would you shut that baby up? Now, of course, we'd never do that. But if you did do that, here's the irony. The whole audience was thinking that. You said it, but now you're the bad guy or the bad girl. And so you need to be able to handle this in the right way, and sometimes you need to let the audience handle it. For example, I was doing a teleconference, a couple hundred people on the line, and a lot of people were chiming in, doing some different things. And I got started, and I was talking about some self-mastery techniques. And this lady got on very upset. She says, I speak for the whole group. We don't want to learn this. We want to learn this and this and this. You need to stop that right now and teach us this. And she's very aggressive, very condescending, and very mean. It kind of upset me a little bit, but again, you're the presenter. You can't show that. I can't slam her. And so I just said, okay, wow, I appreciate your comments. Group, let's turn over to the group. Group, what do you think? And the way she treated me upset the group, and the group was upset, and they used some nice four-letter words. They yelled at her, said, you can't speak for us. That's what we want to hear. Let them speak. Who are you? You know, so forth. Anyway, long story short, she hung up, which was a good thing because she was kind of poisoned to the call. But if I would have done something like that, I would have lost credibility. So the number one thing here, understand, with hecklers, don't let it get to you. Don't get emotional. They're trying to get a reaction. That's where a lot of people tend to blow a presentation. The second one that can really help or hurt you is the way you field questions, the way you take questions. I would spend just as much time preparing for the Q&A as I would the actual presentation, because that's where the rubber meets the road, really understanding how to take questions. So let's talk about this a little bit. First thing is, you anticipate all questions that you think you might get, and you practice those. That's very important to understand. If you open it up for Q&A and nobody asks any questions, what does that mean? Well, they're either bored, they don't speak English, or they might be a little afraid to answer that first question, kind of that college or high school scenario. No one wants to raise their hand first. So if nobody asks questions, you have one ready to go and say, well, the question I get the most right here while you're thinking of some other questions is, and you get the ball rolling. That's very important. Now, here's the one thing I want you to point out. If somebody asks you a question and you do not know the answer to this question, okay, and here's the challenge. Now, sometimes we say, I don't know. But if you say, I don't know, you could lose all credibility and all trust. That's kind of a catch-22. You don't know, but if you say you don't know, you lose credibility. So this is what I'm going to say. If the question's way out there, you say, I don't know. But if it's something they expect you to know, there's a couple different ways to handle that. One would be, if it's a group presentation, and say, you know, it's a great question, throw it back. Well, what do you think? Before I answer that, let's throw it to the group and see what they think. You have them repeat the question, give them a little more time to think of an answer if you're close to formulating that in your mind. You can say, you know what, that's a great question. It's taken us off topic. Let's get together at the break, and I'll tell you, and we'll talk about it. And at the break, you say, I don't know. But it's the one person instead of the whole group. Or you could say, it's a great question, taken us off course. Let me get your email, and I'll email you the answer to that. A variety of ways to do that without losing a lot of credibility, throwing it to the group, throwing it back to them. But that's an important thing for you to be able to do and understand. If they expect you to know the answer, be very careful in how you handle that. Also, in a group such situation, you have to be able to deal with the question hog, the person who asks all the questions, that's dominating the conversation, that's throwing you off, that's constantly raising their hand in the air. It bothers the whole audience, and of course it bothers you too. How do you handle that? Well, you can talk to them at the break. You can say, well, let's kind of get everyone to ask the questions. Unless it's obviously the CEO or something like that. That's the one thing with questions or even heckling. You got to be very careful of who's asking the questions or doing the heckling. I was talking to a colleague once, and he was speaking at a rather large group, and there was this one person that was intoxicated, drinking a lot of alcohol, and just saying all these rude things. And the speaker said, you know what, you obviously don't want to be here. Why don't you go ahead and leave? And that person did leave, but so did everybody else. Well, I found out later that was the CEO who was having a hard time because his wife had passed away from cancer. He offended him, and he left, and so did everybody else. Now, of course, he wouldn't know that, but you just have to be very careful. Know who's who in that presentation situation. So your presentation is critical here. You really know how to do this. Handling the heckler, people that criticize you, you're calm, cool, collected, you're showing your confidence. The way you handle questions is very, very important when you give that presentation. Another thing I want to point out before we open it up for questions is also that when you look at your presentation, there's no such thing as a boring topic, only a boring speaker. And a great exercise we run people through is we actually give them topics like, warts or cooking flour or water. And we say, okay, make it exciting. What can you do? What can you do to grab people's attention? Because if you don't grab them that first 30 seconds, it's not going to happen for you. And that's what you need to focus on. Okay, so today we've talked about handling the questions. We've talked about handling the heckler. In the last few minutes, I want to talk about how do you open up a presentation, whether it be over the phone, this could be internet copy, this could be knocking on somebody's door. You've got 30 seconds to grab their attention. Now, if you want the science behind an introduction versus a conclusion, an introduction lasts probably about 10% of your presentation. The conclusion is about 5%. Now, what you want to do at the beginning of your speech, you have to grab their attention. You have 30 seconds. What can you do? Well, humor can work. A personal story will grab their attention. It goes back to the proverbial WIIFM, what's in it for me, which could be a startling statistic or a question. You got to think hard. How can you grab their attention in that first 30 seconds? Because after that, they're done listening to you. They might be looking at you, but they are not listening to you. So you got to formulate your introduction, that question. And then before you start doing the meat of your presentation, you have to think about that 5% of your presentation. Now, here's where people tend to blow it in this type of a presentation. And one of the big complaints is we interview people after you've tried to persuade them. Is you have to realize that you're persuading the whole time. From the time you show up on a phone call or face-to-face or knock on the door, that's when the persuasion process starts. Where people tend to blow it is this. As they're doing the people skills, the chit-chat, they're talking to people, going back and forth, and then they go into their presentation and their demeanor changes a little bit. And when they go to that call to action or that close, whatever you want to call it, that where they're going to ask for the money, where they're going to ask for their business, what happens? Their demeanor changes even more, and it freaks them out. You're kind of postponing the inevitable. I mean, it should be quick and easy, and whatever you're asking them to do, it shouldn't surprise them. If you ask them for money, it shouldn't surprise them. If you ask them to do business together, it shouldn't surprise them. And your whole presentation is geared around what you're going to ask them to do. What do you want them to do? And that's when that is what's so important about working on that presentation as you talk to people. So to recap, before we open up for questions, we talked about handling the heckler. Stay calm. Don't let it get to you. Handle your questions. Prepare ahead of time. And if you don't know the answer, follow the formula. And prepare your conclusion first, which is 5% of your presentation. And make sure your opener is something so... The word is intense, that it just grabs their attention. That is the goal. So work on that this week. Those are things I want you to work on. Let me give you two things to work on. The first thing is, the way you handle hecklers is important, but I want you to develop some type of question that you can grab their attention in 30 seconds. And second of all, I want you to figure out your call to action. Make sure your demeanor's not changing, but have your whole presentation wrapped around that call to action. Okay? All right. Well, that's the tools of the week on the persuasion call. It is recorded posted on persuasioniq.com/KurtCall, KURTCALL. With that being said, we'll go ahead and open it up for any questions out there. Any questions? Comments about today or things you're running into? All right, I've got an email coming in here. It's talking about sometimes we talked about hecklers, and they want to know, how do you deal with a hostile audience? How do you deal with a hostile person? How do you deal with a person that is very negative, I guess, what the question is saying? And so, again, some people are very negative, and they are very hostile to you. And the key to understand with that is humor tends to work very good in that situation to break the ice. But the worst thing you can do there is come across as a persuader or say something like, and I'll slap you if you ever say this, today I'm going to persuade you. Your goal in a situation like that is to find some type of a common belief where, or common, put it, common what's in it for me that you can help them out to find that goal or solve that challenge. Remember, as persuaders, you're there to solve a problem. And that is exactly what you're doing. You deal with a hostile audience. Don't get overly emotional. Don't get emotional with them. Just like what we talked about heckling, don't get sucked into their game, and it'll be a big difference in your success. But the big thing is there, they're trying to get a reaction out of you. Don't let them, and you'll stay in control. Good question. All right, next one. Any other questions? All right. Another one getting emailed here to me, and we open it up. Talking about your presentation or your conclusion. So, again, your conclusion is your call to action. That's where you get paid. That's where you get paid. And the question is, okay, what makes a good conclusion? And what makes a good conclusion is emotion. We are emotional creatures who make decisions based on emotions, and any type of conclusion should be very emotional. Now, of course, you want to have some logic there, but an emotional story is very powerful. A relevant story is very powerful there that brings it all together. Remember, when you ask them to do business with you, if you ask them for money, if you ask them to sell their home or help them with their foreclosure or join your network marketing company, whatever it is, that work out well for you. Okay, good. All right, next question. Anybody live want to ask a question? We're going back to email. Anybody? All right, I'll open up an email here. The question is what is the biggest mistake people make in giving a presentation? Well, I don't know if I can narrow that down. I would say preparation, not knowing your audience, thinking one presentation fits all. Especially when you're working with people one-on-one, you should adapt and change your presentation for every person. I've said this time and time again, most of you aren't doing it. What I'm saying is most of you tend to persuade others how you like to be persuaded. That's wrong. You need to persuade others how they want to be persuaded. And so when you're doing a one-on-one, you need to really adapt to that person. And if you're doing a whole audience, you need to make sure you're doing different things that resonate with your whole audience. Very important factor. Good question. All right. Let's open up to the group again. Any other questions? All right. Well, make sure you apply that this week and that you use it. That's why we do it this way. If you can just learn a new tool every week, learn how to apply it, you'll be very, very successful. So everyone have a great week, and we'll talk.